Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dine and Disciple webinar presented by Elena. I think most of you guys know the drill. We've got you on mute until such time as you have a question, raise your hand. But Elena has asked that you save your questions until the end of her presentation, please. You can also, that's not the right one. You can also, we've got you muted right here, and if you ask a question and we call on you, we will unmute you. You can also type a question to one of us on the staff, and we'll try and answer it if it's related to the webinar and things that aren't going right for you. If it's a question for Elena, we'll hold it until the end. Okay, Elena, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Hello, everybody. I have something else here, what I wanted. Welcome. This is going to be a rather involved topic, so I hope you will stay with me during the process, and I will try to not to make it too long today, because of that rather involved subject. So, as usual, we will start with a short alignment. So please make yourself relaxed, comfortable. Focus within. Focus the attention in the head and imagine the light of the soul pouring through the mental body. The mind integrating the personality. We will sound the Om after each alignment. Imagine the white golden light illuminating the mental body. Sound the Om. Purifying the astral body, strengthening the etheric body. Visualize the threefold personality being integrated into one whole, unified with the white light. Personality soul fusion. See the lower triangle representing the personality with the mental body at the apex. and the physical and astral bodies at the base of the triangle. The apex of the triangle is pointing downwards. Sorry, upwards. Above the lower triangle, see the brightly lit higher triangle, representing the soul. With its apex pointing downwards. Envision these two triangles facing each other. And by an act of the will, see these two triangles merging together and forming a six-pointed star. See the six-pointed star as a shining sun, representing the soul-infused personality. And sound the silent Om to confirm this fusion. Group alignment. Visualize a sphere of pure white light and the group members as a miniature shining suns inside and around the sphere. See a sphere of light linking the heart centers of all the group members. A sphere of light linking the head centers. And a sphere of light linking the Ajna centers of all the group members. Imagine the light rapidly circulating through these three spheres and aligning the three group centers, Ajna, heart, and head, into one mind, one soul, and one will. To confirm the group alignment, we sound the Om as a group. Thank you. I will start with putting on your screen this part of the second instruction, which is found on in Dina 1, 505 page. Now, the reason behind our focus on the Sutratma lies in the following statement by DK, which says, you can follow it here, I read it, take your mind away from all your personality problems and the problems of those with whom you have chosen to walk in this incarnation, the path of life. Trust their souls. Make and keep contact with them via their souls, refusing to be glamoured by their personalities. Note as the months slip by what will happen as you hold this attitude of soul attentiveness. Know you not that you add your soul force to theirs, ignoring the form aspect, that you can galvanize those souls into increased spiritual activity? But, my brother, as you note these happenings, be not tempted to aid. Leave the personalities to their own wise, pure, and loving souls. Rest back in the simplicity of this thought, and for the next few months, cease from wrestling and be content with the path that your soul has chosen you should follow. First of all, I would bring some astrology into this, because what he is saying to her, as you see, the focus is on two major or three major things here. It's the personality, it's the soul, and it's the path. Okay? Now, when he says, take away your mind from your personality problems, I would like to put her chart. This is the natal chart of CDP for those new people here. You have all the information here. Okay, her race, second race soul, sixth ray personality, fifth ray mind, sixth ray astral, and sixth ray physical. Okay, now the problems of the personality, it is a focus usually on the sun. I make it very simple, just some key points here from what we just read. Sun, as the personality signature, a semi-square Venus. Venus is the symbol of the soul. Okay? And the sun also, semi-square Saturn, which is the dweller, another point of the personality, and Saturn makes a square to that Venus. So you see, this is a rather a difficult combination of energies, even from this very simple selection of the key planets representing the personality and the soul. And you know, Saturn is also the planet of karma. You know, she has a difficult karmic relationship with all her family here and people around her. And you know, he's asking her or telling her that, you know, her soul chosen, a choice and decision is Saturn, a planet of Saturn. Okay. Particularly in relation to Libra, where we have the polarity with the Earth in opposition to the Sun. Okay? Which happened to be in the fifth house of her children. She was very attached to. Saturn is also making the trine to the ascendant. You see, the choice of the soul. A soul purpose. The soul has made the decision, which is her, is the soul. Okay? The soul selected all the people in this incarnation, for this incarnation, through whose she had to learn a very important lessons. And he's telling her, don't be glamored by their personalities. Focus on their souls. She was glamored by their personalities because, you see, she has a powerful sixth ray in her nature. And Saturn is in aspect to both the planet of the sixth ray, Neptune and Mars, making a sextile to Neptune and a square to that Mars. Very difficult aspect for a disciple to have, but very important for a disciple. We need crises, we need, you know, tests, because if we don't have them, we don't move forward. So, he was telling her, you know, stop wrestling, stop fighting. That's the Mars. Stop, Saturn, stop fighting. But for her, it was very difficult. It's a square there. And the Saturn is also squaring the Venus, which is the soul in this case, as we are looking at this planet. And he's saying, you know, be content with the path that your soul has chosen that you should follow. Now the path, it's Sagittarius. It's the ninth house. And you see her planet, Jupiter in Sagittarius, it's her second ray soul ruler planet. And it is making a T-square with all these planets, Saturn, Mars, Venus. Okay, this is the focal point of the chart, this very, very challenging T-square. Okay? So the soul, two soul planets, Venus and Jupiter, and the ascendant, which is the soul purpose, in relation to that trine, particularly as we're considering that Saturn in this very simple, you know, keywords, because each planet can be interpreted from number of different points, and there are other energies here in the chart which we could take, but this is, I just wanted to show you that what he is actually saying to her in this paragraph is reflected very clearly in her chart. astrologically. Okay? Now, just to show you that, you know, all this we can see also when we look at the progressed chart, which is for the June and following for a few months, because he's telling her, you know, keep the simplicity of the thought, what he's telling her, you know, at least for the next few months, okay? And looking at the progression here, we see very, very strong emphasis on that Sagittarius, which is the past. It is our keyword for this webinar. It is the path of life. We see a progressed full moon in the chart from Sagittarius moon, and the sun, because, you know, we're looking for a few months. So the, you know, it is in July, exact full moon there coming, a progressed one, okay? And involving, obviously, in this case, the Earth, which is the esoteric ruler of that Sagittarius, and the progressed moon with the sun, which we were just looking at that sun in relation to the personality, okay? And this is joined by the transiting Mars, which is going to hit this from Libra around October, November, if we can project this, you know, further, because we're looking further for a few months. You see that Mars is there around October, exactly on that it would fall. I don't want to spend the time on this, but you see even the Venus Mars coming on that full moon axis there, okay? We see that there is a Uranus conjunction exact in Leo, okay, which is in exact aspect to that full moon progress axis, 16 degree. You see that? This is a big change here, a great opportunity, you see, to adjust the soul purpose in a new direction, away from the focus of the personality towards the soul. Remembering that the moon is one of the rulers of her Cancer ascendant, okay? Now, the transiting Saturn, is going to, as you see how it is moving there, it's going to reach the opposition to that conjunction, 16 degree, and also is going to aspect the full moon axis. So you see the planets which we looked at in her natal chart are being activated. And you see this Mars-Saturn conjunction coming together also here is very significant. The transiting moon and sun coming together by transits. So there is a repetition, you know, of the same energies from a different perspective. And you know, Saturn and Uranus in relation to the Libra of the decision and the change in the soul, in the soul fulfillment here for the for this in, decision of the soul for this incarnation. You know, this is presenting here the opportunity to really make some decision in a new direction, more going within, maybe more through the meditative process, because what I was seeing there, I don't know if I have already that the Chiron conjunct the solar arc Mercury. Where is that? You see over here, I am seeing that Mercury, and I am not sure where I saw the Chiron. I saw the Chiron, you see over here, coming on that Mercury. It's very important contact that the Chiron is asking for adjustment in her thought processes also, okay? And in the Gemini, you know, we're talking about Antakarana, particularly also through this axis of 3-9, where we see the Saturn through three levels of, you know, two levels of the progression and the natal Saturn, and then this conjunction moving into that third house. Even her esoteric rule of ascendant Cancer, it's in that area, okay? I don't want to spend too much time on this. Just wanted to show you that the natal energies which we looked in relation to that paragraph are also activated for the next few months ahead, you know, the same energies. Now, I will just bring back maybe the natal chart as we will be now considering the topic of this chart. DK never says anything at random, you know. I would probably bring the text back that you see it in front of you. My attention was immediately on that statement, the path of life. Why, you see, he didn't need to use exactly this statement or keywords here, the path of life, and that he's emphasizing the path of the soul has chosen for you, for her. Now, first of all, the path of life indicates the Sutratma, which from this perspective he's talking about is representing the threat upon which are strung all our incarnations, like the beads on a string. He tries to tell her, tell us also, that this incarnation was very important for CDP, which she has chosen, though she needed to learn through, particularly the detachment, and dissipate a number of glamours with such a powerful six-ray forces, which she struggled already for the past three incarnations, you see. She was actually spiritually quite advanced for the stage she was standing at. Being a pledged disciple prior to entering the path of accepted discipleship. Okay? So, this was a fourth incarnation. If she had moved after the first incarnation, she would have progressed much further upon the path than she is. So that is one aspect of that keywords of the path of life, why DK is bringing our attention to that sutratma. Okay? We are told that the sutratma or life thread links and vivifies all forms into one functioning whole. It not only produces the individual process, but also the evolutionary unfoldment of all forms. So it is therefore the path of life which reaches from the monad to the personality via the soul. It is related to the triple thread in the spinal column, the Ida Pingala and Sushumna, and to the Antakarana. This is all related to the sutratma. Okay? And so, looking at it from this perspective, we're getting a deeper picture and understanding behind some topics which we have already looked at, or some processes for this disciple. And we are now looking at them from the perspective of that sutratma, the path. So the spinal column houses a threefold thread. It is esoterically, you know, we're looking at not the physical spine, but the etheric spinal cord of this threefold thread, the Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna. And they together form the path of life for the individual man. And they are awakened into activity sequentially. Okay, sequence is Saturn in relation to the time. So they are awakened according to the level of the consciousness we are in, and the stage of the path, stage, the point of evolution. Okay, that's why the most important point is to establish, you know, where we are, which we already did in previous webinars in relation to CDP. And as I already said, you know, where she was. So this threefold threat is the externalization of the Antakarana as the consciousness threat, the sutratma or life threat, and the creative threat. That are the three threats forming the Antakarana in relation to the threefold threat of the etheric spinal cord. Now this the creative threat is further divided into three aspects, which form a unity or closely woven thread upon the mental plane. But we won't go in that direction because it is not our present focus. Now, there is a distinction between the sutratma as the life thread representing the basis of immortality, and the Antakarana as the consciousness thread, representing the basis of continuity, continuity of consciousness. The link of the Sutratma to the triadal energies is activating the head center, which relates the monad and the personality. The Ajna center relates the spiritual triad, which is the expression of the monad, to the personality. So we have Ajna and the crown center, two centers in the head, in relation to the Sutratma, relating the monad with the personality. And in the case of CDP, it is the Ajna which is important. Those of you who follow these webinars already know that how important Ajna is for this disciple, because it is ruled by the sixth ray and also the pituitary body, which is the physical gland behind the Ajna. Because for CDP, it is the Ajna which is important here, as the relating center between the triad and the personality, for the level of the path where she is, as the pledged disciple entering the path of accepted discipleship. She is moving towards the triad, not towards the monad. So, having already discussed, as I said, the Ajna and the pituitary gland in details in previous webinars, but in this second instructions and the text we are having in front of us, he is bringing our attention also with the Sutratma to the Ajna, from the perspective of the Sutratma. When we were talking about the focusing of the soul and personality rays in the lower three bodies, I was suggesting through the different alignments there that CDP needed to develop the alignment between her second ray soul and the sixth ray brain or pituitary body. Now, from the perspective of the Sutratma, we learn that Sutratma is not only linking the soul with the brain, with the physical man, but the soul is anchored through the Sutratma or life thread in the heart. We know that the heart is related to the pituitary body. And in the heart is connected the life thread, the Sutratma. So this is, at least from my perspective, a confirmation that, you know, she needed to develop that alignment between her brain and soul to express what she was as a soul on a physical plane and relate to the soul of others, to touch the heart, to touch the soul quality. Furthermore, the pituitary body forms the center which receives the threefold vitalization pouring through the Sutratma from the lower mental, astral, an etheric place. So you see, if we have a mist, that's keywords, the path of life, we wouldn't get this deeper insight behind, these energies, which we have already considered, but from a different perspective. This is only taking us on a deeper level and basically, at least for myself, confirming what I just hypothetically suggested at the time when I was looking at it. We know that CDP has suffered from etheric weakness, which we discussed, in great details already before, and the vitalized condition due to the loose connection between her physical and etheric bodies. They were not integrated. Actually, she came into incarnation with a very poor integrated personality. And another reason behind that devitalized condition, as DK is telling her, was inner subjective withdrawal to the mental and astral worlds. Also, she surrounded herself with destructive thought forms, which were draining her of vital force and sapping her vitality. These points, particularly the last one about the thought forms, we would go in deeper when we reach the instruction where DK actually brings this up directly. So we can look at the Sutratma now in relation to this vitalized condition. If we can learn something further, looking at it from this perspective. Now we are told that the etheric body is in reality an extension of the Sutratma or life thread. As the etheric body is built, it becomes vitalized with the life energy sent down from the monad. Okay? Because the Sutratma is linking the monad with the personality via the soul. So the soul dominates the personality through the medium of the Sutratma and through it vitalizes the triple lower aspects of the personality, which is the mental, emotional, and physical bodies, and thus sets up a communication with the brain. So we have again the soul and brain focus here through this. So we are learning something further, looking now from the perspective of the Sutratma to her devitalized condition, because it appears that the soul was not able to vitalize the dense physical through the Sutratma because it was loosely connected to the etheric body. And the soul brain alignment was not functioning. Again, this we have a different look at that major problem of her devitalization through which she suffered all her life. Okay? And she suffered a great glamour about that, actually, because there was no organically nothing wrong with her from the health perspective. So when we speak of vitalization and life aspect, we are dealing with the etheric field, okay? And the etheric centers through which the soul energy condition the dense physical body and the physical brain, okay? Because the etheric or vital body is a web of life, as sometimes it is spoken about, is the expression of the soul energy, okay? The soul expresses through the etheric, in reality through the etheric centers in the etheric body. And it is the subjective analogy also to the nervous system, thus enabling the soul to be in relationship with the environment through nervous system. And focal point of this activity is the brain. So, you know, the nervous system is ruled by Venus, which is the same planet, you know, in connection with the soul. So, we've seen in her chart a very powerful focus, if I can bring the chart, Venus in Gemini. Gemini is a powerful keyword for the etheric body, and a Venus representing the soul, okay, and also the nervous system. This is a very powerful connection here in this what we are just considering here, okay. And the brain is the Saturn, you see, squaring that Venus there, okay? The other reason behind the symbology of the soul to the etheric body is the physical correspondence of the physical body of the etheric body to the causal body of the soul. You see? This is a very important relationship here, which I would have not personally immediately considered, but looking at it now from this perspective of the Sutratmine relation to these etheric energies, you know, it emerges with more clarity, particularly the soul, soul brain and soul, to the nervous system and the causal body coming into the picture now, okay, which taken further, we would consider particularly the heart center upon the higher mental plane, which is represented by the love petals of the egoic lotus or the causal body. Okay, but we are not going in that direction now. I am just sort of mentioning it that, you know, we have another link there of that energies. The etheric body, you see, is also the body of the life principle, which is the energy producing activity through the medium of the blood, as the focal point of this distribution is the heart. That's the etheric body, you see, is the conveyor of physical vitality. So the heart is coming into relation now with the vitality issue, which we are now considering in relation to the etheric body. And the life, a life energy, also in relation to the Sutratma, which is a life threat, okay? So we see behind all these correspondences, the focus on the soul, brain, and the heart. Because you see, for CDP, this is a very important relationship. You know, the heart. You know, if we look at the heart, Jupiter. You see, all we coming back basically to the same energies here, because this is the focal point in her chart. In relation to the Ajna, which in her case, you know, being ruled by the sixth ray, is the Neptune, particularly, okay, ruling Ajna and the etheric body, which happens to be the most important planet for her, being the soul, esoteric ruler of the soul purpose, okay? So if one is following all this, what we presented already, looked at through all the webinars, we getting a confirmation from a different perspective now on these energies. And now, what I would like to really bring some more information, which is important here, is Ida Pingala. First of all, Ida Pingala channels in the etheric spinal cord. Ida is considered negative and Pingala a positive threat. Ida relates to the energizing of matter more, or personality, and Pingala to the unfoldment of the psyche. They are both really related to the development of the personality, particularly at the early stages. Okay? Even though the Ida tends to be associated with the left and Pingala with the right side of the Sushumna, which is the central channel in the spine, these threads or paths are in constant movement around the Sushumna, you see, moving from left to right or right to left. So it would be very dangerous for, you know, to consider them, you know, just from one side, because there is a continuous process as we moving upon the path and we changing the level, the focus of consciousness to different planes, subplanes, in relation, you know, to these energies. So the polarization of consciousness and a stage of the past is very important. If we were to bring these two energies of the Ida and Pingala into a right relationship of its working at that level where we stand, okay? For example, prior to achievement of emotional control and detachment, which was an issue also for CVP, where the mind is not developed or in process of being illumined by the soul, and the person is still under the strong influence of the personalities, those ideas and concepts which come via the sutratmic negative channel or ida channel are well-meaning but lack force or fade out into insignificance because they are emotionally colored. You know, the kama manas is very powerful in there. And lack the organized forms, you know, these ideas, they are not structured, which only the pure mind can give. And those concepts, for example, which come via the sutratmic positive channel or pingala, and it is, you know, I'm just making an example to bring the, you know, the idea into some kind of practical comprehension. It produces too rapid concretion. And the concepts or ideas are motivated by personal ambition because the mentality is very powerful with very selfish orientation. And the lower ego, you know, is very powerful. When, however, the energy of the sutratmic sushumna, the middle channel between the ida and pingala is employed, the soul, you know, as the magnetic energy, the intelligent creator transmits its energies. The plants can then mature according to divine purpose and proceed, you know, with a building in the light. So, with these examples, I'm just, as I say, want to show you that first, we need to know who we are aligning these energies to which level of consciousness, okay? And from that perspective, we can interpret these energies. We are told that the Ida and Pingala etheric channels, you know, come no further up into the head than the Ajna, which also happens to be the lowest place where the soul comes down into incarnation. Okay? The pituitary gland associated with that Ajna is the master endocrine gland until a late stage of discipleship, and in my estimation, I would say up to the middle point between the second and third initiation, where we reach the mental polarization. Until then, the soul controls the personality from the Ajna as the master endocrine gland, which is linked with the base of spine, controlling the spine. Okay? So we having, you know, the relationship from the base to Ajna, not to the crown. Thus the Kundalini fire from the base could only rise up to that point. That's why, you know, through the books, you know, he's giving us these hints that at certain stage, you know, the base is connected only up to Ajna before it is connected to the crown. Okay? So the soul controls the personality through the Sutratma, utilizing the Sushumna channel. Okay? After that, I don't want to sort of jump here where I was going to talk about something else, but I thought it is better to really go through the more detailed process than to eliminate something just to save the time. So when the pineal gland takes over from the Ajna as the master gland, and the head or crown center assumes control at the third initiation, where the monadic energy start to influence the crown or the head center through the Sutratma, then the head center relates the monad and personality, and we see the great duality comes into being. The direct relationship between the personality and monad, which is the process after the third initiation up. And the Sushumna path, which is the central etheric channel in the spinal cord, is not really used correctly and safely until after the third initiation, when the Antakarana has been built and the monad and the personality are related. Okay? And then the monad reaches the personality, as I say, directly, and can arouse the base center, base of spine, and with it blend, unify, and raise the three fires up the spine towards the crown, which we're talking the fourth, fifth initiation, when Mercury becomes the sun. Now, I'm not going to go further with that idea at the moment, because it's not, I'm just mentioning the key issue here of the energy levels in relation to the Sutratma, the Antakarana, and the threefold spinal cord of the Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna. Okay? Now, when I said the three fires, I am assuming that you know which fires I mean, the physical fire, the solar fire, and the electric fire, right? We are told that a pituitary body forms the center which receives the threefold vitalization pouring through the Sutratma from the lower mental, astral, and etheric. I think I already mentioned this. But when this action is enhanced by the pouring energy of the soul on its own plane, the pineal gland comes into activity, you see? So it is a process while the pituitary gland is the major gland, and then the process, everything is a process of emerging of the other gland, which is the pineal gland in relation to the crown center. Okay? And here, even for myself, I try to sort of think about this process more in relation, you know, when upon the path we need to be for this to happen. And I'm thinking that the relationship between the pineal and the pituitary could start developing at the first initiation, when under the seven ray influence, the lower and higher energies represented by the pineal and pituitary glands in the head are brought together in such a manner that the Christ is born in the heart, the first initiation. That is, you see, when the magnetic field between these two glands start to be generated, okay? And the light in the head appears as a result of this magnetic force. And that indicates to some extent the functioning already of the pineal gland, you see, which need to be involved, which is the seed of the soul, we are told, and the organ of spiritual perception. Okay? Now, again, I'm thinking, you see, what I want to say and where I want to, really continue that, how much time I would have. Because what I was going to also mention that when the pineal gland really is the master gland, but maybe I leave that out. Now, what I would like to say is really that according to secret doctrine, the nervous, the sympathetic cord or nervous system of Ida and Pingala, you see, what I should have said before, that, you know, these two channels, Ida Pingala, they are called the sympathetic nervous system or sympathetic cord. Okay? And secret doctrine is telling us that these two systems of Ida and Pingala originate in the sacred spot or sacred center above the medulla oblongata. Okay? which is the area at the back of the brain where, you know, we find also the alta major and also the other glands, because under alta major is medulla. Is medulla in reality the third aspect? And you know, when I was sort of checking this in secret doctrine, it is said that, you know, these two glands, Ida and Pingala, they are semi-material, positive, negative, sun and moon. You know, many sources relate these two glands to the sun and moon. With that, I have a little bit problem because the sun and moon always veil other planets. So I wouldn't want to go into that area at the moment either. Further, it is said that these two glands or channels or what we call the sympathetic nervous system start into action the free and spiritual current of Sushumna. Okay? They are supposed to be the initiator, initiating energies to bring into activity the spiritual current of the Sushumna, which is the central channel in that spinal cord. Furthermore, it is said that the Ida and Pingala are simply the sharps and flats of that fa of human nature, the keynote and the middle key in the scale of the septenary harmony of the principles, which, when struck in a proper way, awakens the sentries on either side. It means the Piga, Ida and Pingala, the spiritual manas of the Pingala, and the physical kama, which is kama, is the emotion, is the desire. Manas is the mind. And subdues the lower thought into the higher. But this effect has to be produced by the exercise of the willpower, not through scientific or trained suppression of the breath. Now, this is a source from the secret doctrine, which maybe if, you know, somebody who understands the scale of music looked at this would understand it much better. But for me, what it is for me confirming the qualities of these two channels of Ida and Pingala, that one is more towards the physical and the other towards the more spiritual, which is Pingala, the higher energy, and Ida towards the lower. Okay. Also, it is very interesting to learn that, you know, they actually start the action of the spiritual current of Sushumna. Okay. Now, before I go into that, how are we doing for time, BL?
You're an hour and 15 minutes.
Right. Well, I am not going into the most probably interesting part for everybody, and that is the entering of the stream at the second initiation, which is a fascinating subject from this perspective, but I don't want to start and break the process. I would leave that for the next webinar, but what I still have a few minutes, maybe, which will give me the time to look at this. Just a moment. And this is this is what, when he follows with this here, you see, I want to, this is just one sentence. He is addressing this, and that is this. Refrain from breathing exercises, for they ever give you discomfort and a haunting sense of failure. This is following upon what we just read about the path of life there, okay? Now, this is not bringing here by accident, DK. You know, you need to read DK very carefully, because he never wastes his time. And, you know, once he started with the Sutratma, I said to myself, you know, here he comes, bringing our attention to the breathing exercises, which are also related to the etheric field, to the breath of life, okay? Sutratma, the life thread, okay? Creating the etheric body. A life thread which is anchored in the heart, okay, uses the bloodstream symbolizing the life aspect. Now, it is the congestion in the etheric body, which is impeding of the free flow of the life force, you see. We are told that the etheric body is a mechanism for intake and for outlet, which in relation to breathing brings the etheric body into the relation with the mind and the lungs, which are involved in the breathing, and the process of breathing with its stages of inhalation or intake, the interlude, retention of the breath, and exhalation or outlet, and thus employing both aspects of force. The mind has to be really involved directing the breath, okay? So the breathing system is also related to the heart, okay? Through the life energy being a focus there, and the right rhythm of circulation of the soul energy, which is the energy of love, you see. So we have a soul love heart again, and the breathing rhythm must be imposed by the mind through which the soul can work, okay? When we're really breathing, we're breathing etherically. Because the right breathing has nothing to do with a physical breath, okay? And so in the case of CDP, the lack of free play of the life force between the etheric and the physical bodies due to their loose connection was complicating these breathing exercises for her. And she was never very happy with it because she knew she was not doing them properly because of this congestion there, of that energy. And that's why DK says, you know, refrain, no, don't do them. Don't do them because they give you, you know, you don't feel good physically and, you know, sense of failure. So I found this, you know, as a very interesting relationship here with the breathing. I could say much more, you know, about the breathing, exercising, you know, what we should do and shouldn't do, but you can find that all for yourself. My main purpose is to really bring your attention to the other energies lying behind the process from the perspective of the etheric field, and now from the perspective of the Sutratma as a life thread, which is also anchored in the heart, and is, you know, it's fundamentally created our etheric body. So, on this note, I will end here because if I start with that second initiation and entering of the stream, and what do we really understand it means to enter the stream, and how the Sutratma and all these channels are involved in that is fascinating. But I will leave it for the next webinar. And now I thank you for your attention. And if there are any comments to what has been said here, or you have any question, please, you can share.
Go ahead, please, Sheldon.
Yes, Elena, thank you. It's a wonderful presentation. A lot of learning listening to this, Lena and I both. I have a very, very simple question for you, though, given all this.
Simple?
Yes, no, this is just a specific question. You were talking about the secret doctrine, some words from there. Do you remember what pages that was from? Because that was very interesting. I don't remember reading it.
Yes, I have it. I have it. I have it somewhere. I have it somewhere, definitely. I'm just looking, you know, if I have put it somewhere in my notes, because, you know, I can send it to you. Yeah, it's a third volume mm-hmm. of Secret Doctrine, page 503.
Oh. Wonderful, wonderful. I really appreciate that. I just say again that your careful work with this is actually quite beautiful. You know, it's a lot of things you're saying, but you did a wonderful job of tying these things together and moving both her work. I'm thinking about CDP's supposed work, but helping us understand these things. So thank you very much for this.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm learning myself, you know, Sheldon.
I totally understand. Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
And you have some thank yous from Isabel, Patricia, and Yogi as well. I don't see any more hands, though, so...
That's fine. You know, it's a subject which, you know, we don't discuss every day. And, you know, one need to really ponder about these ideas. And believe me, I have eliminated a lot of stuff because I thought it was already overwhelming on the first take. So,
okay,
you know,
Here we go. We've got another one. Please go ahead, Leah.
Just like to add to Sheldon, Eleanor, this is absolutely wonderful. Each one has been. And the intricacies of the paths that you have been able to isolate is just so helpful for further work that we do.
Yes, particularly for healers, because, you know, I see a lot of, we can get, you know, in a process how we can utilize this in healing and in a health. Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you very much.
Right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it then. So,
okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for participation. And, you know, we continue in the next webinar with that entering of the stream. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.